Welcome to Wines We Drink, a podcast for wine lovers and learners. I'm Charlotte Norsworthy Varnum, and together with my counterpart Keith Herndon, we'll be exploring a new wine each week. Keith is a lover of wine, and I am a learner of wine, and we hope that you'll continue learning and sipping along with us. Welcome to our show, everyone. You've joined us at Wines We Drink, at the halfway point of our third season, and I'm so thrilled you're with us for today's episode. I'm Charlotte Norsworthy Varnum, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host and certified wine sommelier, Keith Herndon.
Hello, Charlotte, and yes, it's another great day to celebrate with you and drink some wine.
And celebrate we will, it seems. I think we can say we've established a little tradition here on Wines We Drink. We get to the 4th of July week, and our sixth episode, we're feeling a little celebratory.
You know, that's right. You know, the halfway point feels like the right time to pop open a bottle of bubbly.
And I'm certainly ready for that. So our loyal audience will recall from the first two seasons that we've started featuring sparkling wine for our sixth episode right back in season one. And that's why I've kind of called it our little tradition. I feel like 3 years in a row makes something a tradition, right? And so if you want to check out those episodes or any other previous episodes from this season or the first two, you can find us on all major podcast platforms. And also, you can check out our complete episode guide at wineswedrink.com.
So Charlotte, you know I usually like to really change up the selections from year to year, but I couldn't help myself with the selection today. We're not drinking the same sparkling wine from last season, but we are headed back to the same region.
Okay.
We're drinking another wonderful bottle of bubbly from California's Napa Valley. I just couldn't help myself, okay?
I understand.
My wife and I, as I explained on a previous episode, were in Napa last year, and we had a chance to drink some wonderful sparkling wine. Today's choice just stood out for its quality and value, and I knew at our tasting that this was a bottle that I had to introduce to you and to our listeners.
You know, I'm beginning to like all these wine trips that you take with your wife. I'm truly benefiting from this great series of selections and the research for science purposes. You've really come back with us with a great selection for us to drink today.
Yeah, I think you're going to really like this one. We're going to be uncorking a 2018 vintage Estate Brut Cuvée from Domaine Canaris. It's on the southern end of Napa Valley. This is a sparkling wine, not champagne, right? But it does have French connection, right? This winery is owned by the renowned French champagne house, Tattinger.
Okay, well, that sounds wonderful. Before we begin drinking today's selection, maybe it'd be a good idea for you to give that brief lesson from seasons one and two about the differences between sparkling wine, why it can't be called champagne technically.
So Charlotte, I guess that's an excellent suggestion. We probably have some new listeners today. If you're not familiar with the whole idea of sparkling wine, you know, today's wine is made in the traditional champagne method, which means the bubbles are created through a secondary fermentation process that takes place inside the bottle. So for those not familiar with the rules of the wine world, it is important to understand that although this wine is made in the style of traditional champagne, we call it a sparkling wine. The name champagne is only given to those sparkling wines produced in the Champagne region of France. And our friends there are very fond of that historic name and are extremely active in policing its usage. They want to stop sparkling wines from outside of Champagne using that name, Champagne. So therefore, we don't call sparkling wine from California Champagne. We call it sparkling wine.
Lest we be policed. No. So once again, everyone, I will repeat the mantra that I've learned from co-hosting this show. All champagnes are sparkling wines, but not all sparkling wines are champagne.
Yay! You really have that down. Didn't have to rehearse that one at all, did you?
No, I'm a professional.
That you are. So let's move into some professional wine tasting then, right? Today's bottle, as I mentioned, is a 2018 vintage release, which means that all of the grapes used to make this wine were harvested in 2018. Now, that's something important to recognize because perhaps even a majority of sparkling wine is non-vintage, meaning that they blend the juice from grapes that come from more than one harvest year.
So this bottle, with this bottle coming from a specific year, does that allow us to know something about the wine that we may not know when a bottle is non-vintage?
Yeah, I think so. I'll go straight to the winery's notes to answer that, okay? The notes explained 2018 had the coolest temperatures in Canaris in over 5 years. And that allowed for the grapes to have a longer hang time on the vine, and in turn allowed for them to develop more flavor, right? The development of the grapes then was really, really important, I believe. So in this case, when you're dealing with one specific vintage year, you know a lot more about the conditions, and in turn, that helps us set some expectations for what we're going to get when we open that bottle.
Okay. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I think there's always a story to tell behind each individual bottle, and it's interesting that this is the story for this bottle. More time on the vine and more flavor because of it. So I'm ready. I feel primed to drink this bubbly. So could you please pop the bubbly and pour us some glasses?
Sure.
Ooh,
oh, yeah, that sounds
that.
Really great.
That's awesome.
So let me pour, and you can see we're using some extra large flutes today so that we can get a really good smell of the aromas, and we can see a good sense of the bubbles. I mean, the carbonation is really intense in this bottle.
Yeah, you can tell as he's pouring, the bubble to beverage ratio is extreme.
Right. I have to do a little better job of letting the wine hit the side of the glass and then this next glass that we're filling.
Everything has a technique to it.
Right. But you can hear the fizz.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
That's
okay.
So sweet.
Very nice. Okay, before we actually drink this one, I want to remind our listeners again that it's never a good idea to let a cork on a sparkling wine fly off when it's released. So when I opened this bottle, you know, I opened it into a wine towel. I don't know that our listeners could actually sense that, right? I didn't want it to accidentally pop off and hit my co-host with an out-of-control cork, right?
Well, hey, I appreciate you thinking of me. We're really safety first here at Wines We Drink.
Yeah. So now that we've poured the glasses and we've got our safety lesson out of the way, right? Take a look. What do you think of the color of this?
Yeah, it's such a beautiful color. I think that, of course, with the dancing bubbles, that always adds a fun look to it. It's a lovely pale golden color. And it's just spectacular, especially in these giant flutes that you have these in. They're not normal size. They're like super size.
Right. Well, you know, I always like the way sparkling wines look in the glass, whether you're using a regular wine glass or some type of a flute or, you know, it's just the golden hue and the fizzy bubbles are simply elegant no matter what the occasion is.
That's absolutely right. And yeah, it really has some reactive bubbles. It's just dancing throughout. It's really effervescent because of that too.
Yeah, this wine was bottle aged for 3 years, which the winemaker said contributed to its, quote, fine pinpoint bubbles. So no wonder it's so fizzy, right? And that reminds me to tell our audience that with sparkling wine, you don't swirl it before smelling it.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Those active bubbles are already releasing aromas. So swirling would give off too much aroma, and then you'll end up with a sense of flatness in your nose, right?
Okay.
So without swirling it, smell the wine and let me know what aromas come to mind. And yes, those bubbles are probably going to tickle your nose.
Oh, yeah. I mean, very upfront on the smell, not swirling. I'm getting some citrus notes there. If I had to hang it onto one, we'll call it lemony, maybe. As I'm continuing to sniff, you know, you're right. I am getting some bubble tickle.
You know, so while you're smiling, smelling this again, and smiling,
right,
I'm going to interject here that I get some nuttiness.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely. It's kind of like, you know, almonds or, I don't know, maybe even macadamia nuts. There's definitely some toastiness to it, right? Some, I don't know, aromas that kind of remind me of bread.
Well, you know, I'm going to say in the traditional method, sparkling wine is aged on lees. And as I've explained many times on the show, you know, the lees is the leftover yeast remnants and the other sediment that's part of the winemaking process. But when you age the wine on those lees, that process gives what the winemaker calls or refers to as a brioche quality, right? And that's the French connection,
right? There you go.
So, yes, I would say that
that those aromas are reminding you of bread, because mm-hmm. that's what the winemaker wanted you to smell. So great job there.
Thank you. Well, hey, as intended. Okay. I think I've smelled my heart out, so I'm going to go in for a taste now. I'm really eager to see how the aromas translate. As we know, sometimes the aromas and the smell lead you into what it's going to taste like, or the aromas are completely different than what you taste. So, Whoa. Oh, yeah. That first sip is amazing. There's a lemony sensation. It's definitely on the tongue as well as in the nose. And because of the bubbly texture, it's almost kind of like a desserty kind of feeling, but like a lemon sorbet, right? It's tart. It's creamy.
Wow. You're going to have to moonlight as a wine note writer, Charlotte. I mean, the official notes, believe it or not, refer to lemon sorbet.
Hmm.
And I believe that creaminess you describe is a good way to explain that. It has a full, you know, round texture in your mouth. You know, what are some of the other flavors that you're getting? So you're doing so good at this.
Yeah, ooh, I won't push my luck too hard. I mean, there's definitely, I would just say, a lot of fruit combos coming through. I'm definitely getting some pear and apple. They contribute to that crisp feeling that you get.
Yeah, you know, those are some great flavor descriptions. Would it help you to know that this wine is a blend of 54% Pinot Noir and 46% Chardonnay?
Yeah. Wow. I definitely think that the Pinot Noir is adding some of those deep notes of red berries, especially as that taste kind of lingers. And you've planted this Pinot Noir notion in my brain. And so I'm definitely now picking up hints of strawberry and cherry even.
Right. You know, it's like anytime I think of Pinot Noir, you know, I think of going to the Willamette Valley uh-huh. and drinking something that some people might refer to as almost really delicious cherry juice.
See? Yeah, right? Exactly.
Right. So, you know, so that's awesome. You know, I think that when you talk about these hints of strawberry and cherry, you know, I think that's spot on. I mean, those flavors are not at all out front. It's that lemony smell you get, that lemony thing, but they're there. And as the wine lingers on the tongue, the finish is just really, it just really finishes in a delicious way.
Absolutely. And, you know, you've brought us another exceptional sparkling wine for the third season in a row. And I have learned so much about how even sparkling wine can have so much complexity to its offering. And so how much can our listeners expect to pay for this wonderful Domaine Carneris Brut? It feels like a celebration wine. Does that mean I'm paying celebration prices?
Would you believe a sparkler of this quality is under $40?
Wow, okay.
So, you know, believe it, the list price on the winery's website at the time of our recording for this vintage was $38.
Wow.
You know, and I think that's an amazing value for a wine that the Vivino app rates as among the top 2% of wines in the world. And if I'm not mistaken, this is the third week in a row we've had a top 2% wine in the world.
Wow.
Featured with the Vivino app ratings, right?
Hey, who's counting? I mean, you know what you're doing, though. I mean, every time you've introduced a sparkling wine to me, I've been so impressed. And this one is no exception. You know, a California sparkling wine owned by a French champagne house, what could go wrong? It's a terrific combo.
Right. You know, I think you're right there. You know, so now I have a pairing for you to try with this wine. You know, this is not something that we normally do. You know, we normally go for the food for the cheese or mm-hmm. something like that. But there's a bowl of fresh strawberries. And so I want you to bite into one of those juicy berries and then take a sip of the wine.
These are massive strawberries.
Yeah, they're very, very fresh, very fresh from the market today.
Oh, wow. Man, that is amazing. The sweet tartness and juiciness of the strawberries and the tart citrus of the wine comes together. I almost want to like plump a couple of these strawberries just in my glass. It's such a good
Well, some
combo.
People do that, right?
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
Yes, but you know what you're also sensing there are those red berry flavor notes in the sparkling wine that we talked about earlier. So when you actually introduce a real strawberry, it pulls out that flavor in the wine. And again, this wine is only 12% alcohol by volume, so it's not going to overpower that delicate fruit
like these strawberries.
You're so right. I mean, it is a berry-berry pairing. It's delicious. I mean, I'm having some more bubbly. I'm going to have some more berries. You know, if I sneak a couple into my glass, you won't know because you can't see me, listeners. but hey, we're going to keep chewing and we're going to take a short break. We'll be back right in a minute with some of my favorite parts of the show, this final segment that we call The Finish. And today, Keith has a great interview lined up with his wine mentor. Welcome back to Wines We Drink. This is the portion of the show we like to call The Finish. Today, Keith is talking with his wine mentor, Dr. Clinton Lee, who is the executive director of the Asia Pacific Wine and Spirit Institute, where Keith pursued much of his wine studies. They will be talking about sparkling wines, celebrations, and party etiquette, which is a part of Dr. Lee's new book on manners that will be out this fall. So Keith, take it away.
Well, thanks, Charlotte. We've had a great discussion and drinking some wonderful sparkling wine, but now I'm going to turn our attention to our guest, Dr. Clinton Lee. Full disclosure, Clinton is my wine mentor. my wine journey would be nothing without the training that I've had at the Asia Pacific Wine and Spirit Institute and the friendship that I've developed with Clinton over the last several years has been one of my personal treats. And I want to thank you, Clinton, and thank you for coming on the show with us today.
Well, it's my pleasure to be here with you, Keith, on your show. And thank you very much for the introduction. Although I must add, I am a guide, but it takes the spirit, the enthusiasm, and the determination within you yourself, Keith, that really coupled together. I'd like to congratulate you on the success that you've achieved so far. Thank you very much for having me on the show.
I appreciate that. So I want to get started. You know, Charlotte and I have been on this episode drinking some sparkling wine. We had a wonderful example from the Domaine Canaris. It's one of the Tattinger, affiliated with Tattinger. It's in the Napa, in the southern end of Napa. Was a wonderful sparkling wine, but we do this as part of our midpoint in our season. We kind of have a little tradition of celebrating the midpoint of the podcast, and it's really interesting that we're not different from any people. We tend to turn to that sparkling wine when we want to have a celebration. Why has sparkling wine become synonymous with parties and celebrations?
Well, you know, there's certain drinks that are always considered to be the most appropriate for certain occasions. I'm not sure if I would argue with Napoleon, you know, when he said, in victory, you deserve it, and in defeat, you need it.
Yeah, of course, he was talking about wonderful French champagne, right? That's what he was talking
about. Champagne, you know, right. Champagne or sparkling wine, of which champagne falls under that category. The fact that when you're making sparkling wine, there's always that added step of ensuring that there's this wonderful, effervescent, bubbly, whichever method you try. It does require an extra step, and there's always an extra cost to it. And it's the wonderful bubbles that you see. It you know, the phrase, let's have a, you know, you're a bubbly character. Yeah, let's see all the beautiful aspects of life come through. And so there is an added cost. There's that sense that it's more special as these events that we celebrate with bubbly, and quite frankly, they pair up extremely well.
Right. Well, you know, I think that it was I wanted to bring you on the show because I was thinking of that marriage of the social qualities that we associate with wine, and especially the celebratory qualities, and the idea that people ascribe, they put these social guidelines, I guess, together to have a party or whatever. And we want to think in terms of, well, how should we behave when we're at these social gatherings? And I was really intrigued to see that the Abwazi added a course in etiquette to the training offerings. And I wanted to get your thinking on that. You know, we're obviously talking about celebrations and parties, and that brings up, you know, personal behavior. So why is etiquette and wine linked?
Currently, I'm in Singapore, Keith, and I don't think it's only particular to Singapore, but all over Asia and certainly in the business circles, that whenever you are interacting with new colleagues, new potential partners, most of your business is conducted over a meal. And how you behave when you first meet them, how you shake hands, how you look at them, how you address them, moving on into the area of having a meal, ordering the wine, is all very, very important because you really are under scrutiny. Now, in the North American terms, I know that may sound rather officious and the sense of, really, is that so important? Well, it is. It is very important here. And they do tend to scrutinize a lot closer what you order, how you drink, how you behave, how you speak, because that is a reflection of themselves. If they're going to do business with you, it's no longer the phrase, it's not personal, it's business, that we have become used to in North America. It really is personal here. If they don't like you, they won't do business with you.
So in addition to the course itself at Abwazi, you are coming out with a book this fall about manners and etiquette. Could you tell our listeners what the name of the book is and what led you to putting that together?
Yes. Thank you. Thank you, Keith. The name of the book is called Master, the Art of Manners. And I was going about my business, as I normally do, very early in the morning, enjoying a cup of coffee. And I received an email from one of my supporters and fans who happened to be a New York publishing house editor. And they were very intrigued and they liked very much what material and content that was coming out from our social media. And they invited me to write this book, which they felt had a particular calling to a very large audience. And from there, we progressed right to the point now where the book is being published later on this year. For me, on a personal aspect, I think there's too much emphasis on differentiation amongst our group of society in this world, whereas rather than differentiating ourselves, it should be more of what can we do to make society a better place? What can we contribute? And one of the first steps you need to do, in my opinion, is you need to be pleasant. You need to be kind-hearted towards others, and that begins with good manners.
Excellent, excellent. Well, I'm certainly looking forward to the book, and I'm, you know, in my day job, running a leadership development program, I'm really hoping that there's going to be some ways that I can incorporate some of those lessons from your book into some work that I do with my students. And so, stand by. I may be calling on you to do some speaking with my students about the importance of manners and the importance of etiquette, and just understanding that their behavior in certain settings really pays dividends.
Vital, absolutely vital, Keith. It can be the kiss of death if you did something wrong, and you have no second chances, unfortunately. So it's always best to be prepared.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing you in person at some point this year where I can get my copy of your book autographed. It will be added to my signed author collection.
It will give me immense pleasure to do that, Keith. Immense pleasure.
Excellent. So let's turn our attention back to the bubbly for a moment and bring this conversation back to the theme of today's show. My wife and I were traveling in Napa last year, and I mentioned this wonderful Domaine Canaris that we drank. We certainly had some other really good sparklers at places like Maryvale Winery. Where are some of the places that you are finding really good sparkling wines these days? Are there some areas emerging that our listeners might not be aware of?
Well, I think all over the world, you know, the phenomenon has been that of the UK in the southern part of England, you know, from the Kent area, and their sparkles are certainly reaching great heights in terms of quality, in terms of consistency. However, for myself, I like Franciacorta, you know, the Cardinal Bosco from Brescia in Italy. You know, they use primarily Chardonnay, Pinot Nero, Pinot Blanco, and it's made in the traditional method. So you have that wonderful brioche and the autolysis with the consistency of bubbles. Extremely versatile. And in my opinion, I've always maintained that Franciacorta will match, and if not, in many cases, surpass, with all due respect, many bottles of champagne.
Wow. So those are two really great tips for our listeners. Some sparkling wine from Kent, England, and a Franciacorta from Italy. Don't get that confused with Prosecco. It's not Prosecco.
No, it's not Prosecco. Not
right.
All.
So another
way, different region and different grapes.
Right. Absolutely. That's great. So, you know, Clinton, it's always a treat to spend a few minutes talking with you about wine, and also it was wonderful to catch up with you about your book coming out. I'm so looking forward to that. So thank you very much for joining us for a few moments of conversation on this episode of Wines We Drink.
And thank you very much for having me on the program, Keith, and may the bubbles always be in your listeners' lives consistently and constantly.
Great. Thank you, Clinton.
Thanks, Keith.
Wow, that was a fascinating conversation, Keith. I'm looking forward to getting his book when it's out. Before we go today, could you give our listeners a hint of what we're doing next week?
Well, you know, we've mentioned my wine studies occasionally on the show, so I'm going to put some recent work to direct use. Last year, I completed the courses with the Wine Scholar Guild to be certified as a sherry wine specialist. So tune in next week for a lesson in sherry wines. You know, some critics describe sherry as often misunderstood, but always delicious.
I will add to the fact that I misunderstand currently sherries. So I'm excited to learn more. You know, every week on this show is a lesson, but really I feel like I will learn the most next week with that sherry episode. So until then, everyone.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks for listening to Wines We Drink. Listen to our other episodes anywhere you get your podcasts, and be sure to follow us on Twitter @WinesWeDrink and on Instagram @TheWinesWeDrink. Cheers.